actor Richard Armitage will do. How are you doing, Richard?
I'm very good. How are you?
Do you live in London?
I do, South East.
So how do you get around? We've got the Transport Commissioner for London here.
What do you think
of public transport? Do you use it?
I do. I kind of use the train regularly, and it's kind of put me out of my car, really. I travel through London to get to my parents up the M1, but I tend to travel outside the congestion charge times.
Is it a problem if too many people recognise you and think you are gorgeous? You know, I mean, there isn't a special carriage for top actors.
Doesn't really bother me, really. I'm quite happy about that.
We'll talk with Richard Armitage, who is about to be Claude Monet.
That's right.
The young Claude Monet.
The young Claude Monet.
In The Impressionist on TV. So details with Richard in just a moment. Now, all these emails coming in for you, Richard. You've got so many websites dedicated and devoted to you. This is because you'll have seen Richard either as a romantic hero, North and South, or in Flirty Lifeguard in Cold Feet, Sexy But Serious Doctor in The Golden Hour, Shakespearean Hero, Macbeth, and about to be then Claude Monet in The Impressionists, and also Guy of Gisborne?
In Robin Hood.
In Robin Hood.
Very good.
I kind of, I'm really looking forward to the Robin Hood thing already.
Yeah.
Just because I think as Sheriff of Nottingham, just remind us who that is?
Keith Allen's playing the Sheriff.
Now you see, that's a fantastic and inspired piece of casting.
Hellraiser.
So you and Keith Allen.
Yeah.
You're the bad people,
we are,
aren't you?
Yes.
Remind us who did what in that? So Sheriff of Nottingham was chief baddie. Guy of Gisborne is his underling.
Well, it's interesting. In different stories, he is different things to different people. But in this story, he is kind of the sheriff's henchman.
Right. Okay. And filming started already?
Yeah, we're shooting in Budapest at the moment. So.
Why is it in Budapest and not in Nottinghamshire?
I don't think there's enough forest in Nottinghamshire left. Whereas in Hungary, they've got acres of forest.
Is it true that Friar Tuck is? He's not there. It was considered sort of fattest.
Yeah, he's not there for the moment. So I think there's, you know, possibility that he may arrive.
It's going to be, you know, people will just think, you know, you've got to succeed because everyone is wanting it to succeed because it's a terrific project.
Yeah, it's a great story and it needs to be reinvented for different generations, and they've done a great job. So.
Now, explain The Impressionists, what the project is. I've seen one of them and it looks absolutely stunning.
Oh, thanks. It's a three-part dramatised biography of the Impressionist artist. It follows Monet, and it's kind of Monet in his 80s reflecting on his life. But it also introduces the other artists that were connected to the Impressionist movement. So you've got Renoir, Degas, Manet, Cézanne. And each episode kind of goes in a different direction to kind of find, you know, their stories as well.
It has to be filmed in a particular style, which makes people go, wow, this is just looks fantastic. I mean, it does seem in a way that Inspector Morse was always sunny in Oxford. This is always sunny in France with beautiful flowers at all times.
We didn't shoot any of the I think it was dictated by the paintings that were being explored. So, you know, Monet did paint kind of London in very kind of poor weather, but I don't think they wanted to explore that aspect of it. So yeah, I mean, it was basically dictated by the particular paintings that were being the story which was being told about those paintings.
What did you know about the Impressionists before you started?
I've eaten my dinner off a placemat of the water lilies. I've sent Mother's Day cards with, you know, Monet. You know, I've had wallpaper.
Absolutely nothing then?
No, very little. But it was, I find it quite shocking that you've got that prolific aspect of an artist. And I wanted to, I was really interested to see how a man that radically changed the art movement and was, you know, lived with great poverty and struggle became, you know, that placemat. So it was very interesting kind of exploration for me.
How were the Impressionists seen at the time? I mean, we see this fantastic gang of you going around, and you've already mentioned, you know, Renoir and Manet and Degas and Cézanne, and they're all here, and we see what they're like, and we see your version of them. How were they perceived by the people at the time?
I think because it was at a time during a war, when France was at war, they were seen as people that were going to destroy the system. You know, the Salon was very much the establishment, and I believe that they constantly rejected the work that was submitted, because basically at that time you couldn't be a successful artist if your art wasn't shown yearly at the Salon.
And what is the Salon?
It's kind of like the Royal Academy of Arts, but for France. So every year artists would submit their work, and then they would be accepted or rejected. And there was a room called the Salon des Refusés, which was basically all the stuff they'd said no to, which was weird because it was still being exhibited, but it was kind of saying this is the reject shop. But I think that they were seen very much as people that were dangerous to that system. They were a threat to, you know, established tradition, and at that time I don't think that was particularly acceptable.
There's a scene when in the first episode where some of these people clearly running the salon come in and look at some, is it Manet?
Yeah,
I think it's the Dejeuner.
Yes.
Anyway, I forget the title. A very famous impressionist painting. I'm sure it's Manet. And they go, "Oh, this is terrible. This is," and they're absolutely shocked by it.
Yes.
And to our eyes, and is the, why did you get so upset? What was it about the impressionists that they considered such a threat to the established order?
That's a good. I mean, Manet is kind of unique, as was Degas. His work was the nude painting was very revealing in his work. It was less allegorical. It was less symbolic. It was very much kind of domestic. And I think that that was something that a lot of the artists did, is that they kind of got rid of the facade of how to create a painting, and they kind of freed it up and went out into the open air and kind of did their own thing. And it was very much about the experience of art rather than the actual art itself, which is kind of a modern concept that we really live with now, that art is an event and it's an experience between the viewer and the painting, and that each viewer will have a different experience. And I think that was something that was unknown and radical.
Because we're looking at it, it's the one with the naked woman in the woods with two fully dressed men,
yeah,
which Bow Wow Wow used as an album cover in a slightly
edited
version.
Fantastic.
Many, many years later. But that was my reference point, rather sadly. But for the life of me, we're looking at it thinking, I can't see why this is shocking. But they were clearly scandalised. And now everyone, as you say, they have them on placemats. Were they? Did it take many decades for them to be accepted?
Yeah, I mean, they had a number of... They started exhibiting on their own, away from the salon, so they had their own impressionist exhibitions, and they failed regularly, yet they kept doing them. So it wasn't until about the fourth or fifth impressionist exhibition that they started to be recognised, but they still... I think Monet painted in the style of Manet in order to get his painting accepted at the salon. So they did, throughout their careers, have certain paintings accepted, but they were still constantly rejected towards, you know, no matter how far they got, really.
It's narrated by your character, but as an older man.
Yes, it's Julian Glover.
Julian Glover. Yeah. And I think it's a line that he has in which he says, "We saw the world afresh."
Yes.
And that was really about as close as I think any explanation came to just say that these were a bunch of artists who just looked at things differently.
Yeah. Yeah, and painted their experience of what they saw rather than trying to depict exactly what they saw. So in a way, it was, I guess it was a kind of photography, see what I mean, which was an interpretation of what they were seeing and feeling about that, which is why Monet painted Rouen Cathedral 20 times, because he couldn't quite capture what he wanted from the moment, because the moment kept changing.
Can you paint?
A little. I did.
It's not really very good enough, really, is it, considering your Claude Monet?
It's not. We were very lucky, actually. We had very talented artists who reconstructed the paintings and deconstructed them as well, so that we could go into various stages of painting. And I'm familiar with oil on canvas, and I've done a few things with it. But yeah, it was great. There was one particular moment where the guy had done a beautiful reconstruction of the haystacks, and there's me daubing kind of purple paint on it, saying, you know, is this okay to do this? But no, it was great.
So we see a number of the most particularly famous paintings being done again by you and your staff.
Yes.
Is it a bit like the Blue Peter principle, you know, where, you know, here's one I prepared earlier and I'm just going to do a little thing at the top just to spoil it?
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of, here's five I prepared earlier, and he actually did manage to work out how those brushstrokes, you know, went on, which I think is amazing, that he could see how they were created, so that we could actually, you know, make the right movements.
Well, did that... obviously it's a completely different world, but the kind of headlines that modern artists get now, you know, shock horror, they can't even paint, it's outrageous, the kind of Tracy Emin of this world, is that how some of these guys were being...
I think it was that radical, yeah. I mean, people would spit at the paintings, they would throw, you know, rubbish over the paintings. There's a scene, I think it's in episode 2, where there's a moment like that with one of the gentry at the exhibition, and yeah, they were slated by the press and, you know, ridiculed.
It's been a while since I've read any of these emails, Richard, because I was hoping for one that didn't manifestly sort of dribble while it was under construction. For example, Jane says, "Hi Simon, I'm so excited you're having Richard Armitage on the show today. I'm his biggest fan. Yes, I am. Honest. 3 exclamation marks. I'm sorry I missed the interview you did with him ages ago when he was appearing in North and South. 3 exclamation marks. I love the man in capital letters. 3 exclamation marks. I can't thank you enough. Please send him my love. Please. 4 exclamation marks. Do you get that all the day?
I think weary. I do know Jane, actually. She's written to me a few times. She's a very nice lady. But was she asking you a question, though?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, hi, Jane.
It's just... Gosh, he's good.
That's very nice, isn't it?
Susanna says, "Please tell Richard that all his fans in Belgium wish him all the best and are anxiously looking forward to the Impressionists and Robin Hood." Again, no question.
Okay.
Just...
Hello, Belgium.
Boy, you're good. This from... Wendy, fantastic that Richard Armitage is on your show today. Please, can you ask him, we've got a question, if he's going to do any stage work in the near future? Not a good question, but at least it's a question. And actually, there's a worse question coming up. So anyway, what stage work are you doing next, Richard?
I don't know, actually. I think I'm pretty booked up with Robin Hood. But yeah, I'd love to do some stage work when I go back.
Not much of an answer, is it? Anyway, the question, which is even worse, is, will you be wearing tights in Robin Hood?
I may be wearing tights, but you won't necessarily see them.
Why? What's the point, then?
No, there's no tights.
Really? That's even worse. And still they come. Lucy, just wanted to let you know that the Armitage Army are tuning into the programme today, spreading your broadcast as far as Australia, which is where I am. I've stayed up late to listen to Richard's great voice live. No pressure, mind, but I thought you should know. Is that the Armitage Army?
Yeah.
Makes it sound like some kind of militant wing of your fan club.
It is. It's a revolution. Where, there's a group of very nice ladies that have called themselves the Armitage Army, apparently.
Do they make regular contact with you, and are you slightly irritated by it?
I'm not irritated at all. I think it's great if we can go to war with an army behind me.
Carol says, "I'm a huge fan. We'll be thrilled to be hearing Richard Armitage on 5 Live. I can't wait to see him." I mean, this is the kind of gush which we've got. If you can improve on that and have a genuine, really tough question for Richard Armitage, mayo@bbc.co.uk. More in a moment. The news is next. Good afternoon. You're listening to 5 Live. Richard Armitage is still here. We're still looking for some really tough questions for him. And Mike Figgis is here as well. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Movie director, of course. Actually, to talk about one of your old... is it about your oldest film, Stormy?
It's the first feature I did.
First thing you ever did.
Yeah.
With a very, very young-looking Sting and a particularly kind of teenage-looking Sean Bean.
Yeah.
So we'll talk with Mike fairly shortly. Let's just see what these Richard Armitage questions have been shaping up as. Right. Helen in Worcestershire. Hello to Richard! Exclamation mark. So it's still from that sort of school.
Is that it?
No. Read the Impressionist. Could you please ask him if acting in the role of a real historical person rather than simply a fictional character was as fulfilling and as challenging as he hoped? It's not bad.
Good question. It's different. I've always wanted to do that. To play that kind of character, because there's a great sort of body of literature that you could, you know, look back on, biographies, and there's a responsibility because there's probably still members of the family that, you know, exist, so you have a much greater responsibility and I suppose less, you know, freedom to do your own thing, so it was a good challenge.
Fran says, do you have a favourite Monet painting?
Yeah, I do, and it wasn't until I saw it in Paris that it became my favourite, and it's a very grey painting of the Houses of Parliament at sunset, I think it is. And it's in the, because I've only seen it in print, but in the flesh, it's mind blowing, the light that comes out of the painting. So yeah, it's one of those.
So you've combined not just the show that you're promoting, but also our location here in Westminster. So that's all done in one. Andy, on this, as a male listener, I have to confess, I don't know who this gentleman is, but judging on the female response to his appearance on the programme, I'll have a pint of whatever he's drinking. And he's got 6 exclamation marks after that.
That'll
now this, Patrizia from Italy. You really do have an international fan base. Could you describe... He's got 3 questions, actually, okay. Or she. Could you describe your role in Robin Hood and whether you'll be in one of the episodes or the entire series? That's the first question.
OK. Guy of Gisborne.
Oh, yeah, and?
Dark, nasty henchman.
OK. Will there be a DVD of The Impressionist? And if yes, the release date, please? And also, could you tell me about the deleted scenes and outtakes?
We've been shooting for 2 weeks.
If he's how much have they deleted in 2 weeks?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
If he's planning... I'm losing the will to live. If he's planning a holiday in Italy, specifically in Rome, let him know there are some Italian fans extremely happy.
Okay.
Did you have to paint?
Yes.
In the style of...
Yes.
Toshin.
Yeah. What's the most sort of typical question Mike Figgis gets asked? Do you get any of this adulation, Mike?
No, it's always like, what's it like to work with Sting?
Fran in New Jersey, for Richard, what has been the most difficult role you've done so far?
God, that's a good one. I suppose North and South, really, just because of the extent of the character, the fact that it was a novel, so there was a lot of information there, but it was the most satisfying. But I think that's got something to do with it, because it was so challenging. You know, when you get to the end of it and you know, achieve what you achieve, it becomes, you know, satisfying.
When are you coming to Hollywood, says Fran? It's quite difficult to get your work here.
Is it? I have to look into that. Don't know.
So no offers then?
No.
Anne in Renfrewshire, hi Richard, if you could play any role from historical fiction, what could it be and why? She's a member of the Armitage Army.
Gosh, I would love to have played Raskolnikov in Crime and Punishment, but I think it's been done to death.
And I think we're just going to have to stop now, but this is Liz, who says it's a rubbish question. Could you ask Richard if he gets to do any kissing in Robin Hood? This guy who's born in the new BBC Robin Hood.
Yeah. I don't know yet, I haven't seen all the scripts, so I'm not sure, but I'm sure I could get one in somewhere.
Once the Impressionist is gone, Richard, what are you doing next? Is it just Robin Hood? That's it, as far as you're aware.
Yeah.
What are the kissing options in... It's Maid Marian or the lads,
or,
right?
Yeah, or the sheriff.
Are there homoerotic undertones?
It's not there yet, but I'm sure...
Keith Allen would say no. He's up for most things.
Yeah.
Okay, that's as much as we're going to get. Anyway, when it comes out, again, come and talk to us.
Will
I
do.
Look forward to meeting the Armitage Army.
Brilliant. I'll bring them with me.
Thanks for it. No, you don't have to bring them with you, really.
The room isn't big enough.
No, exactly. No, he's got hundreds.
I know.
Richard Armitage, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, sir.